My grandma is old fashioned. Dad says she broke the mold, whatever that means. She's got an old gas stove, it's like a treasure trove. She lights with a match, and she's making everything, and I mean everything, from scratch. Standing by the stove, stirring. Her cat is in the kitchen, purring. It smells so good in here, I just want to close the door and hook the latch. She's making everything, and I mean everything from scratch. A little makes a lot. Be careful, sis, it's kind of hot. Is there more inside that pot? From scratch. There's always grown-ups in this room talking, so I put my leash upon my dog. Grandma, I don't know what you did while you were cooking, but you made my dad look like a kid when he was looking at all those chocolate chips and icy cold milk sips. Let's hide the entire batch. From scratch. Dinner time is done, but there's food to wrap. Nearly everyone could use a nap. We can hardly move. To our seats we're glued. It's like we're attached. From scratch. She takes a little, makes a lot. Be careful, sis, it's kind of hot. Is there more inside that pot? I'm hoping so, but thinking not. She gave us much more than we thought. From scratch.
Listening to the Children's Hour, I'm Katie Stone, and that was Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser from Dancin' in the Kitchen. Today on the show, we're learning about folk art. We have with us Armando Ortega. He's an eighth generation weaver from the town of Chimayo, New Mexico. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Armando.
Thank you. Buenos dias.
One of the things we learned on the show today about folk art is that it really has to draw on a legacy, a cultural tradition or a family tradition. Who taught you how to weave, Armando?
My grandfather, Juan Melquiades Ortega from Chimayo, my dad's father, taught me to weave, I think, when I was 16 or 17 during the Christmas holiday from school. I think I might have spent come back to school a little late. I think I spent a month or two up there and learned how to weave.
Was he teaching you the patterns and designs that the Ortega family weavings are known for?
Yeah, you know, it's all geometrical, diagonals and squares. Up until the late 1800s, weaving for us was just for our clothing and to trade for other goods, for things you needed. But right before that, around 1840, just to show you the extent of weaving here, 20,000 blankets were exported from New Mexico to Mexico. But then as commerce came, when the trains came to New Mexico and machine-made blankets and stuff came in and were cheaper, the need for weaving lessened and became more of a tourist thing. And so designs were actually shaped by the tourist demands. Color schemes during different periods. I remember the 40s, my grandfather's blankets from that area were either very deep reds or turquoise blues. And it's a certain era where they were catering to tourist tastes. It did allow the weavers to still have a market.
Could you describe what a chimayo weaving might look like?
I prefer really earth colors, lots of tans and whites, shades of gray. My grandfather was a great colorist. He liked, as he said, I like to make the colors sing on the loom. It's a lot of geometric design, you know, Native American blankets, Native American designs on beadwork, on pouches. A good friend of mine, Nazi Kazakowski, a really great weaver from New Mexico, who ended up moving part of the time to China, weaving out there, and really has shown how all the designs that we do now and have been doing here really are just a continuation of the same geometric patterns.
Do you feel connected to your relatives from long ago through your weaving?
Oh, very much. So for the last about 15 years, I put down the wool and I started making rag rugs out of torn cloth, which is also an old tradition from Europe even, of recycling your old clothes, whatever towels, whatever textile goods, when they wear out, you tear them into strips and have a weaver make them into a rug for your floor. So I'm making these little, more like floor mats, very durable. The oldest one I have that's been on the floor, some of them are 13, 14 years and they're still quite sturdy. I have some that a family in Chimayo gave us, the Ortiz family, our cousins. So through more or less the decade of the 20s, as their clothes and stuff were out, they stuffed all those rags in a bag and then cut them up and gave them to my grandfather, and he wove floor rugs for them. And they gave me some in the last few years. I have them. They're from 30s, and they're still very intact, and you can tell they had a lot of use, but they're still quite sturdy.
That's so cool to be touching the clothing that was probably worn by relatives of yours who are long past.
Katie, when my sister brought me the big, it's a long, like for a long hallway. And she told me that story, that this is what the Ortiz family, our cousins, it's their cloth from the decade of the 20s, their old stuff. And when I unrolled it, I still, every time I unroll it, I'm just overwhelmed with the thought that this was clothing of my ancestors, you know. There's just something very special about that. And that it was made into this durable thing that's quite sturdy still.
We're talking with Armando Ortega. He's an eighth generation weaver. His family's out of Chimayo, New Mexico. Armando, if you have the right tools, is weaving pretty straightforward?
Weaving's very simple. At least the weaving I know. It's tapestry weaving on a two harness loom. That's our traditional loom. But there's looms that have four. I've seen looms with six and eight harnesses. That's a whole different type of weaving. And that gets kind of mathematical. But yeah, the loom is a very simple machine. You know, it requires maintenance. It's got to be very straight. You got to have your screws screwed in tight, and as you bang that thing, as you're banging your wool into the blanket, your loom will travel across the floor, so you really have to somehow find a way to nail it down. My grandfather's in Chimayo had beams nailed to the ceiling, down on the floor, because it takes a lot of beating while you're weaving. Gramps wove from about the age of 13, I think, till he was 100. He went blind when he was 100, and he was still weaving.
Eighth generation weaver Armando Ortega, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Pues a ustedes muchas gracias. Thank you all.
Armando's not just a weaver. He's a retired preschool teacher, says hi to all his kids from La Puerta, and he's also a musician. This is his band Wagogo, right here on the Children's Hour. That's Wagogo from Familia y Amor right here on the Children's Hour. And we're out of time, but we've learned a lot about folk art. You can learn more and bring the Children's Hour into the classroom. Find our digital learn-along guide that goes with this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for folk art. And there you're also going to see photos of some of the artists and their work that you heard about today on the show and much more. Thanks for listening to The Children's Hour. We'll catch you next time.
The Children's Hour is produced by The Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode had a lot of help from our kids' crew members and their families, including Evan, Joe, Thorfinn, Addie, and Andrew. Our learning guide was written by Lorraine Archibald. We had production help from Eli Henley, Gus Tafoya, and Daniel Lentz, and our senior producer, Christina Stella.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour,
or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to The Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.